From wristwatches to Fitbits to smartwatches and VR goggles, wearable tech has been with us for decades, along with the promise of future tech, but it seems the future is finally here between the Apple Watch, which I don't have, Android Wear, the Oculus Rift, Chrome, Google Glass, all the different wearable tech that we're coming up with and that they're making for us today. We're living in a future that's been predicted for so long. So what consequences will wearable tech have for us as individuals in society? Welcome to Let's Talk. This week we're talking wearable tech. My guests tonight are Father Robert Balasair, a Jesuit priest and a regular contributor to the Twit Network. Welcome, Father Robert. Did I get your last name right?
You did. That's actually as close as anyone in a podcast has ever gotten, so kudos to that.
All right. And Angela Silana, a regular contributor to the SQPN network and an observer of media and communications in the Catholic Church. Welcome, Angela.
Thanks, Tom. I really liked that little intro there. I was wondering what you were going to introduce me at.
Well, and by the way, I'm Don Bettinelli. I'm your host today for the SQPN network. Angela, I got to say, I wanted you to be here because I remember several years ago reading your master's thesis on church communications?
Just a plain old BA thesis, yeah.
Okay. Well, it seemed like a master's thesis.
Thank you.
But I wanted to have you here, and I know you have a particular viewpoint on wearable tech that I think is a valuable one. And of course, Father Robert, we know as you're one of the Catholic priests who is most well known as a techie, and I thought, who better to ask than to bring in one of the experts from and get your perspective. So thank you for joining us. So let's just jump into it. First, kind of ask you, what wearable tech do you use now? What are you wearing? What tech are you wearing today? I have a Fitbit. That's my big one right now. Do you have any wearable tech?
I have a lot of wearable tech that sits in a closet. I have to review it. It's part of my job. In fact, Intel just sent me this. It's a Basis just for going to the Intel Developer Forum. This has been sitting in the back of my closet for the longest time. And when I heard the topic, I'm like, oh, let's finally break this out. So do I have wearable tech? Yes, it is absolutely everywhere. Do I use wearable tech? That kind of depends on the definition, because we've had tech that we have worn. But if you look at what they include in this current generation of wearable tech, quote unquote, it's actually pretty narrow. And I think it's going to grow. But I'm one of these people who I took a watch off 20 years ago and I'm not putting it back on. I don't want to have it on my wrist. I would be okay with having something on my ear, but it would have to have multifunction. And really, for me, wearable tech is something that has a lot of promise, but has not yet been delivered. There's no killer app for wearable tech.
Okay. Angela, how about you?
Yeah. You know what? I've got over-the-ear headphones right now. that's about it. Having my smartphone on my person sometimes, but that's about it.
Okay. All right. So I gather that, so from both of you, that, that you're comfortable with technology.
Yeah,
but you don't do wearable tech as we're using it today. In general, the smartwatches, we're not quite at the point where everyone's wearing an Oculus Rift around yet. that might be a little dangerous, bumping into things. But do you either do a Fitbit or anything like that? I mean, I don't think you do, Angela, right?
No, I don't.
Father, do you?
I have a Fitbit. I have a Microsoft Band. I have. like three different clones, and they all tell me I don't exercise, so I stopped wearing them.
Okay. So you don't wear wearable tech, but you're techies. So what motivates that decision? Where does that decision come from to not wear the tech? Can I start with Angela? What's your reason?
For one thing, I'm an introvert. And, science is telling us today that, the reason that there are introverts and extroverts has to do with brain wiring. I've just found out for myself that, when I have too much stimulus going on, I just can't be myself, and to have technology, you know, already constantly surrounding me without having it actually physically on my body. You know, that's already enough stimulus for me. I, you know, like you said, I am a techie. My full-time job involves technology all the time. I'm constantly in front of a computer, you know, at work. Mm-hmm. So to be away from that, you know, I really cherish that. Just time of not having notifications pop up constantly, not having something that is demanding my attention all the time, just to have those moments where my mind can rest, you know, is mm-hmm. important to me.
And you, Father, again, you have access to pretty much virtually any wearable tech that's available. So why is it you choose not to use most of it?
I'm a little like Angela in that I do like my private space. So, for example, my superiors here at the community have been nice enough to give me my office. And then I also have the place where I sleep and I pray. And my room has no tech. There is absolutely no tech in there whatsoever other than an electric light and a little alarm clock. And that's because I can't sleep with my phone next to me because I get tempted. I wake up in the middle of the night and I go, oh, you know what? Let me just see what tweets that I get. And then I'm up 4 hours and it's time to go to work. So for me, that idea of a place of silence is very, very important. And I think that's something that people are going to have to start looking into, because tech in the bedroom or tech where you sleep or tech where you pray is not just distracting. It's addicting. It's incredibly addicting to fill the silence with stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think my immediate decision not to use wearable tech as much as, say, my tech cohorts and my coworkers at Twit is I haven't yet found a piece of wearable tech that I think is worth me wearing all the time. There are some great examples of wearable tech. I got to try the original Microsoft HoloLens before they downspec'd it. Mm-hmm. That I am 100% in agreement that AR has so much more of a future than VR. VR, for me, it's great. It's a video game, and you can bore people with your 360 videos from your vacation. But AR actually does have the ability to transform the way that we relate to the real world. And I love that concept. But as far as the watches and the Fitbits and the exercise technology, to me, they sound like they're gathering data points that I won't ever use. I mean, it's fun the first couple of days. Like, oh, look, I walked 15,000 steps a day. Or, oh, look, I burned off 12 calories drinking that soda. But that's not actual information I'm going to use. I'm sure someone's collecting it and using it for whatever purpose they're using it. Mm-hmm. But until someone gives me wearable tech that can enhance my life, can increase my productivity, or just become so ubiquitous that it's normal for me to wear it, I'm not on board. Not yet. I'm not saying I won't be, but not yet.
So you mentioned like the tech, like that tracks your steps, people track their exercise or food or taking breaks from work or their sleep. When is this healthy mindfulness, and when does it become sort of an unhealthy obsession with just numbers on a screen? There, you know, it's a game. I have to get the highest score. Angela, when do you think that would? Where's the line that we need to draw on that?
Well, I think it's a matter of attention and focus. For instance, I'm not going to name names, but I have family members who wear their Fitbits a lot, all day long. I have coworkers who wear it all day long. I would say that I've seen kind of a mixture of being able to focus on the person in front of them or the task at hand. That sort of thing. To me, I think, you know, again, with the whole concept of resting one's mind or having that proper, I guess, use of your brain and use of your attention span, to me, that's where you start crossing over the line to maybe an unhealthy place.
Mm. How about you, Father? Where do you see the line is on that?
Well, the line moves, but I would say the easiest way to find out where it is for you personally is to look at a couple of things. First of all, there's absolutely nothing wrong with curiosity. These are interesting gadgets, and people should be interested. I mean, if you want to try it and see how it works, that's fantastic. I actually encourage that because it lets people know, well, okay, what's the state of the art? Where is it heading? And that's important to me. The other part about that is once you get past the curiosity, you have to look at utility. Is this actually a useful device? Is it giving me any information that I'm actually acting upon, or has it become an addiction? Because gadget addiction is very real. I see it all the time. And the strangest thing is I actually have seen gadget addiction more in religious communities. I don't know. That's strange. Maybe I should stop giving religious communities all my gadgets. But I think the real divider, and this is something that I truly believe in, is you can look for the FOMO, the fear of missing out, because I think that's what drives a lot of the lust for gadgets, which is, oh, they have a Fitbit. I need to get a Fitbit. They have an Apple Watch. I need to get an Apple Watch. Oh, look, this is the latest and greatest in on my head. And I can see that. And all those conversations, when you start getting to that point where utility and curiosity are out the window, and now it's just, well, if someone else has it, I have to have it. That's then you're over the line. If you're at that point, then you're not looking for the line. You need to just take a couple steps back.
Yeah, that's me after an Apple keynote.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the Apple website. So when does that become available? Although I have to say, for me, the Apple Watch, I'm usually like, I want the next Apple gadget. I've always been an Apple guy, but I look at the Apple Watch and to me that's it, like you said, Father, it's not quite what I want yet. I mean, it's cool, and I like the idea of some of the aspects of it, and the reason I got a Fitbit. So just to kind of like where my tech is, I had a Fitbit several years ago, and I have a famous story on my blog that it gets a few hits every day about the time my Fitbit sent me to the hospital. Long story short, I slept on it like this and pinched a nerve, didn't realize it. And I ended up, you know, in an MRI with a neurologist. And then he finally asked me, do you sleep funny? Anyway, so that's where wearable tech could be a problem. So I don't sleep with it, but I got a Fitbit again, I need to lose a few pounds. That's a little secret. And I got the Fitbit. I'm using the Lose It app on my phone. I got a WeThings scale because I know I'm a gadget guy, and the gadgets, I'm going to use the gadgets I got. I think that, and that's the end. And so there's a little bit of that. There's a little bit of the gamifying things, where I want to get the high score, or in the case of the scale, the low score, that sort of stuff. So I look at it that, but yeah, I see, but I get the point that there's a time when that goes too far. For example, I need to record the food I eat, but sometimes I'm trying to do that at the table and I'm bugging my wife. Well, what was in that recipe? Oh, and how much of that did you put in? She's like, could you just let me eat? I'm sorry. Yes, I will. I could do this after dinner. So I get that there's a bit of that. There's a time and a place for it. I get that. Yeah, go ahead, Angela.
Well, I was going to say, you know, boundaries, goals. I think a lot of us who are involved with tech, we think about all the cool things that it can do, but to actually have those goals of, you know, how is this making my life better? How is this enriching my life and my goals for my life, my family, et cetera? So when those goals just kind of go to the wayside, that's when we, you know, lose it, like I said, that focus. And that's when it becomes a real problem.
So we kind of talked about, the negative aspects of wearable tech and tech getting into in the way of our lives is sort of a known thing, but I don't want this to be a negative conversation. I want kind of like one of the positive things. What do you think is the possible positive impact of virtual reality and augmented reality? You mentioned the HoloLens, Father, and I've seen some of Microsoft's promo ads where they show like how it could be used, and you know, people watching the game on this giant virtual screen in front of them and pulling it out and putting it on a table and, you know, all this. I'm like, I want to watch that football game. You know, it looks amazing. What are the implications? How can we make sure that our experience is a net positive for our society, our families, the people we live and work with?
Yeah. So a few of the demos that I saw with the HoloLens, there was one that struck me as an IT person. That's my background. Before I was a Jesuit, before I was a priest, I was an IT person. They had a HoloLens that you could wear and you would look at a rack just like you would have in a data center. And it had all the servers in there and it saw the barcodes on each of the servers. And then it overlaid what each one did, what the credentials were to get in there. And then it actually made, it showed you what was connected to what. That's something professionally I would really, really like. They had another app that was on the verge of stalkerish. So you could look around the room and they had a couple of their representatives who were registered in the system. And as you looked at them, it would just overlay all the vital stats, who they are. Have you met before? Has a wife and three kids and their kids are named this, this, and this. I thought that was kind of, it was interesting, but then I started saying, okay, but now if he has a HoloLens, I'm thinking that's probably what he's doing to me too. And so now our conversation is incredibly inauthentic. But, and this is where I get excited because it is undiscovered territory here. We don't know yet what the utility is going to be. We know the technology is coming. There is no way to stop it, and we wouldn't want to stop it. We know that at some point we will find the level at which we're comfortable with using it. So my perspective has always been, if you are not a Luddite, you want to get into this and help to shape it. Help to push it in the right direction. How will this technology be used to enhance human interaction rather than hide behind a screen of information? I don't need to be walking around with Wikipedia scrolling in front of my face the entire day, but it would be nice if we could develop a UI and we could develop a way to get information that I'm actually going to use that's not always looking to give me an advantage over somebody else, but is actually looking to enhance the interaction. That's what gets me excited. There is another area of wearables that I almost don't want to bring it up because, well, this is a different kind of network than Twit. But there was a product category at CES, the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas this year, that just exploded. And it is a wearable, but it's more insertable. And it was a company called Comper, and they had their entire thing is catering to women who want to get pregnant, with women who want to see how their pregnancy is going. And they've got these medical devices that let you do in your home what you used to need to go to a hospital to do, like do an ultrasound of your fetus or to hear your fetus's heartbeat. And I'm thinking, okay, this is super, super niche, but at the same time, okay, you've done something that's interesting and you've done something that I think people will actually like using. It's not something that you're going to keep in 24 hours a day, but obviously it's technology that I think is used right. So yeah, like I said, I'm not against wearables. I just haven't seen the killer app yet.
Right. It's hard to kind of figure ahead of time. Like any great technology is never designed by the people who design it, if you know what I mean. You know, the iPhone, when it first came out, it was the first smartphone, had no apps apart from what was on it. It was people clamoring for apps that really pushed it. And I am convinced that the iPhone and smartphones in general went places that Steve Jobs and Johnny Ives and those guys never imagined it would go. And I think that's the way it generally is for a lot of this tech, iPads and all that sort of stuff. And so where the VR goggles go, where the smartwatches go, are going to go places that the people who design the tech can't even imagine, where we can't imagine today. If you look back 30 years and see what people imagined what tech in of today would be like, it's totally totally different and not at all what we ended up with. So so it's an interesting idea to think about that.
Although yes and no, because when I was a kid, we all thought, oh, there's going to be a supercomputer in everyone's head, and it's not in our head, but it's in our hand. I mean, when you consider what your phone, iPhone, Android, whatever, so your smartphone is connected to, and what access to information you have, go back 20 years, no one would have thought that was going to happen. That was hardcore science fiction. It was, wait a minute, no, we know what a computer is. A computer is a big desktop with a big monitor, and if you want to connect it to something, you have to go over a really slow modem, which dials up with this horrible noise, and then gives you a connection to AOL, which may or may not have the information you need. Now it's like, well, I've got a phone. I have Google. I have access to almost every piece of human knowledge throughout history. And it's incredible. It really is ridiculous how much access we have and how quickly we took it for granted.
Yes. I sit at the dinner table sometimes with my kids. I have 5 kids, 8 and under, and they'll come up with something. And it's like, well, let's look it up. And like, so one time they asked me if his example, do elephants swim? I'm like, that seems crazy. Okay, look at oh, they're the swimming elephants of the Andaman Islands in India. You know, and I got a video, and I've got all the stuff. When I was a kid, I had to watch Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, and maybe and whatever they chose to show us once a week. Or go pull out an encyclopedia that was out of date the day they printed it. And like you said, it's now I don't even have to pick up the phone. I can have an Alexa in my house where I can, I could just have to speak to it. I'm living on the Enterprise computer. It's Scotty in 1986 in the that Star Trek movie. A keyboard, it's quaint. I mean, we're living in, I would say, I love living in the future, and that's where we are.
Yeah. So, I mean, I work with teenagers at my church in a kind of an educational setting. And it's really interesting for me to see their hyperconnectivity, but also, like you were saying, being able to just dive into things that they're interested in. I think the wearable tech would definitely have big, big effects on the education realm. Because if you have a student who, sees something that interests them in particular, they could just dive right into that, particular subject. I mean, I've seen that with my students already, just one little thing that kind of was said in passing or whatever, and they look it up really quick and they come to me afterwards and they're like, wow, I didn't know this, and all this information that I never would have had time to share with them. But it's that kind of, individual, within the communal experience. It's really interesting.
Watching kids with this tech is interesting. I see my own kids. I've let them play with the Google Cardboard, and the immersive environments, especially the where you can go on Google Street View and walk around a city. To me, I'm like, this is amazing, and they're like, wow, this is interesting. Like, it's for them, it's the world they live in. For me, I'm like, I'm like my grandparents looking at a touch tone phone. For them, the world they grow up in is going to have this sort of augmented reality tech involved and everything. How do you think that's going to affect their lives and their families when they get to that point? What do you think it's going to be like to have all of that information possible, much more so, like overlaid on reality, like an AR sort of thing for them in say, 20 years? Put on your futurist hat.
So I did some research on this. One of my theses was the integration of contemporary communications technology into an organization like the Catholic Church. And one of the things that we touched on is the exponential growth of knowledge. And let me give you a concrete example. Go back 20 years. Again, I love 20 years. If you got a PhD, basically what it meant was you added to the corpus of knowledge by gathering sources, because research was actually still pretty difficult. So you had to gather sources and turn it into something that was a different kind of analysis of those sources. Very difficult. But today, gathering information is easy. Gathering information is ridiculously easy. In fact, I just helped one of my Jesuit brothers get his doctorate. And yeah, he did have to go get some very arcane documents that could only be found in Vietnam somewhere in a library. But the vast majority, 90% of the information, he could just research over the internet. And so it changed the way that we look at knowledge from researching to analysis. It put much, much more emphasis on analysis. Can you critically think? Are you equipped to take all the ridiculous amounts of information that you're getting and turn it into something usable and actionable? And in that essence, I like that. I like what the information revolution has done. I would much rather train, because I've been a teacher for the Jesuits, I would much rather train my students to think critically than train my students to be research machines.
Hmm. Excellent point. I note one of my benchmarks for that sort of information being available was always, someday the Vatican website, you'll be able to go there and you'll be able to look at the actual text. They'll have images of the actual texts that they make the Bible from, like the Greek writing that was the Codex Vaticanus from 1500 years ago, or whoever it was. And now you can mm-hmm. you can see the primary sources without getting on a plane and flying there and having credentials. Anybody can do that. So point well taken. Angela, we're going to be finishing up. Do you have last thoughts on wearable tech?
One thing that I just kind of want to plant in people's brains is this idea of having machines on us and how they affect our sense of touch. How much do we physically touch each other and show affection? I've seen the effect, like I was saying, I work with teenagers, and I think that they're not quite as comfortable or familiar with physical touch anymore. It's very rare for them, and they're craving it. And I think having the wearable tech is definitely going to, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how this affects people's brains. You know, I mean, we know babies growing and developing with their brain, they have to be physically, you know, touched. So just really, you know, what are we doing to our own brains and our own bodies through wearable tech?
Great points. It's as Marika says in the chat room, from a Catholic perspective, Pope John Paul, St. John Paul, preached a theology of the body, and maybe that was a divine providence that it was the time that it needed to be talked about as we're entering into this era where technology may be separating us physically more and more. So that's a good thing to keep in mind. Well, this has been a great conversation. Father Robert Ballester, thank you for joining us. This has been wonderful. Angela, thank you for joining us as well. Great perspectives. Folks, this is Let's Talk. It's on the SQPN network. You can find us at sqpn.com. Father Roberts is a contributor to the Twit Network. If you go to twit.tv, you can find all his shows there and all the ways he contributes there. And Angela, where can we find you online these days?
Easiest way is just go to twitter.com/inspiredangela.
Excellent. So thanks again, folks. If we'll be posting links, and we'll put the link to this video on our website at sqpn.com, and we'll have our requesting your input. This is a community show. We want your input, your questions on future shows. So make sure to go to sqpn.com, sign up for our mailing list, subscribe to the shows, and we'll see you in a future episode of Let's Talk.